Good evening, snowballers. Welcome to another exciting edition of Inside the Locker right here on oneofus.net. This is the only weekly sportscast that also knows the difference between Silent Night Deadly Night and Silent Night Bloody Night. I'm just going to throw that out there.
There are five Silent Night Deadly Nights.
That is correct.
This is a real thing?
This is a real... Well, okay, I guess most of us know the difference. God damn it, Elliot.
Already,
we're not even into the show proper and you're already disappointing
this, me. This huge movie, Silent Night Deadly Night.
Hey, first of all, Silent Night Deadly Nights 1, 2, and 4 are pretty awesome. And secondly... We were the nerds stuffed into lockers in school, but we studied sports and all of the stat sheets while we were in there, and we came out as some sort of weird amalgam that wouldn't even make it onto, like, not necessarily on the nice list, not necessarily on the naughty list, just sort of on the abomination list, but here we are.
I think I'm on the naughty list after my Batman comment.
Oh, I'm sure you are. No, there's no doubt about it. There's not a word, like, naughty doesn't do justice to what you said.
I still think it was good.
I want to let you know that Inside the Locker, just like all of our content here on oneofus.net, is available on iTunes. All you got to do is go to iTunes, search One of Us in the podcast section. You can also find us on Twitter at ITLcast, and feel free to become a subscriber to the site. If you see, we got a little link there on the right sidebar that says, you know, you can donate $1 to $25 every single month. You can cancel that at any time, or you can just make a one-time donation. We would really appreciate it. It helps us keep the lights on. I am your host, Brian Salisbury. My sincerest apologies. And I am joined by, I mean, you will find a no finer crew this side of Santa's workshop. I'm talking about JC the Lion.
What up?
I'm talking about Elliot the Lawyer.
Bzzz.
And I'm talking about our neighbor Adam the Neighbor. Adam.
Hey, hey, hey.
I think I got lost in a loop there. Anyway.
Adam the Neighbor.
Adam the Neighbor, the Adam.
I thought he was the Beef.
The Beef of Adam.
Yeah, that just complicates things to a whole new level.
It's turned into like a whole Avengers thing going on. The Beef of the Atom.
Indeed.
So I guess that makes me Hawkeye?
Yeah. Yeah, you're the one that can... It's like, you stay here. We got this.
But I have that trick arrow and Loki and...
Yeah, no, that's great. You stay here. Yeah, so let's kick sobriety to the curb before we even get going by guzzling from the beer bucket.
Ice cold beer, yeah?
Gentlemen. What are we drinking tonight?
I think we're all drinking the same thing, aren't we? Oh, no.
No, Elliot's got something different.
Elliot, what are you drinking?
Well, I got a family reunion from Shiner. Like, they have six different beers.
Oh, yes.
And one of them is the Shiner Rye Lager. It's Rise and Shine. And I picked it just for the title because I thought it was cool.
Interesting. I've never even heard of that one.
Yeah.
What about
you? I eat breakfast for dinner all the time. It's awesome.
Adam, what are you drinking?
I'm very graciously drinking the beer you brought, the Ziegenbach Amber.
You know what? This was the kind of day where nobody I know got killed in South Central LA, and I didn't have to use my AK, so...
It was a good day.
It was a good day. It was a very good day.
And there was a blimp that said, you know, Brian's a pimp.
Brian's a pimp. Saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it read, Brian's a pimp.
Wait, you weren't just quoting Happy Gilmore right now?
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing.
You're going to drink by the bay. What do you say?
Let me make things out of clay. I just may. What do you say?
Yo, dog, I heard you like references, so we put your references on top of your references so you can reference while you reference.
Oh, my God. That should really be a thing that we do. We are the inception of references. Yeah, I think the rest of it, JC and I are also drinking Ziegenbach.
Yep.
So, guzzle. Hey, before we go any further, I want to remind you guys, we completely revamped our store. The One of Us Net store on Spreadshirt. That is something you should check out, but there are a lot of other great products in there. We've made everything uniform. We've added some of the larger, like, triple and quadruple XL sizes, because I know there were some complaints that we weren't offering the big enough sizes. So, you know what? Now we have that as well. So, go to our store. I believe
just
it's...
Just buy two. Sew them together.
Just buy two and sew them together. That is that's an interesting solution to the problem. I'm not sure if it would work entirely. But anyway, that's oneofusnet.spreadshirt.com, or you can click the link right there on the sidebar. And a lot of those designs are done by Ryan Dunsmore, who does a great job for us. We're going to start revealing shirts, like, every couple of weeks. Like, we're going to start doing shirts for individual shows.
Yes.
And there's going to be a lot of great stuff. I'm trying to figure out, honestly, for this show, I want to see if he's copyrighted it. I don't know if he has, but I want to get a shirt that says, Yeah, Jeets, for Inside the Locker.
Nice.
Oh, I doubt he couldn't have copyrighted
that. If he would be the most narcissistic human being on the planet if it's like, not only do I say my own name while I'm getting a blowjob, but I have trademarked that phrase.
I think Yeah, Jeets is a great idea for a shirt.
Yeah,
like,
Jeets.
Only the fans are really going to get it. And like very like intense sports fans. Like,
we will sell 3.5 of those shirts and we will be happy for it.
Yeah.
Anywho, on today's show, we're going to go ahead and forego the crossover because there's so much to talk about, and we don't want to just graze over it. We want to really dive into our scores and stories.
Flash to Captain and Mrs. America and all the ships at SeaQuest. These are the scores and stories.
Stop the press.
And, yeah, there's, man, all kinds of big things happening in almost every sport. I do want to throw a special shout-out to our Austin, is his name, in our comment section, who was declared the winner of our GIF-off, which is just something we kind of did randomly. He posted...
A GIF-off.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yes,
a guy
did.
Getting off on a GIF. It's some bell ringer from Texas Tech who got really zealous about the bell ringing.
That was coming, honey, everywhere.
Well, to the point that it looked like he was required to give some kind of sample into this bell. I'm not really sure what was happening, but... It was something to behold, and it wasn't even us.
And
like,
he beheld the shit out of that.
It wasn't just us. Like, other people in the comment section were just like, no, you win. Like, that's there is no competition here right now.
Like,
you
that's
have
going
won.
In my personal collection just of gifts. I'm just going to have that for the rest of my life just because if I have a bad day. Open it up.
Definitely.
God, that's a funny motherfucker.
And we're going to do it again on this show. So if you have any particular gifts that you would like to submit in the comment section and be like, I think this is the best gift of the week, go ahead and put it in there and... We'll just, you know, randomly declare a winner. You don't really win anything except pride, but there's a lot of pride to go around.
Sports podcast, pride's a big thing.
I agree. I very much agree. Anywho, so to sports, and the first thing I think we need to talk about is in Major League Baseball, Robinson Cano is no longer a Yankee. So Jacoby Ellsbury in, Robinson Cano out, JC. Do you have in front of you the particulars? I know this is an insane, like, it's a 10-year deal, am I right?
It's a 10-year deal. It's not the $300 million that he wanted.
Oh.
But it, yeah.
But he does get to go to Seattle.
Yeah.
He gets to be a Mariner, so that should make up for the, oh, God.
Yeah. But it is $240 million, which is, you know, not chump change.
Over 10 years. That's what blows me away about this.
Yeah, it's one of the... Yeah, people thought the 10-year deal was done after the Anaheim Angels gave Albert Pujols a 10-year deal, and they're going to be paying him until he's 44?
Yeah.
Is Jason Giambi still in the league? Does he have one of those deals, too, where it's like...
He still makes $30 million a year.
He has one of those deals where it's like, you get to play baseball, but there's going to be this painting of you in an attic that looks like shit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, but it's... I mean, it's a bad deal all around. It's not... There's no salary cap in baseball, but the owners aren't going to pony up any more money for pitchers or anything like that. They basically give all their money to this guy.
Do they really think that just having Robinson Cano is enough to turn around that franchise?
No.
No.
Not do we think that. Is that honestly what they think? Is that why they shelled out $320 million or $240 million to get him?
Yeah, I mean, I think they bought a little bit of what Jay-Z was selling and calling Robinson Cano the Michael Jordan of baseball.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. Ask me if I buy that.
Do you buy that?
Cano, I don't. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you walked right into it. It was like a Venus flytrap.
I didn't even see it coming. I was like, well, I'm sort of stuck whenever I think about Robinson Cano. I hear, like, Robinson Caruso.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking whenever I hear that name.
And it's funny because he's just been stranded on this island that is called the Seattle Mariners where no man dare tread.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. He has no right to ever, and I do mean ever, complain about his team not winning now. He's going to be the reason.
Well, he may not be the reason they don't win, but he's certainly... not going to compel them to a World Series just by being there.
Well, on top of that, like, if you're making so much more than the next guy, how does that affect team morale? If it's like, if it's close, or if it's like you have a class of players on that team that makes like $20 million, that's fine. But if you're like the one making 24 a year and I'm making like one, isn't that like piss the other guys off a little bit?
Probably.
I mean, I imagine probably.
Yeah.
But
in a certain extent, I think people kind of know their place as far as.
Yeah, I mean,
for the most part, some people would.
It's definitely a league where you can. I mean, it's a league where you can get a 10-year, $240 million deal, even if you're not. He is an elite player. It's not like he's not. It's not like they're not giving elite money to an elite player, but
he just has a shitty agent.
I mean, it's an inflated.
No. He has a great agent because he had an agent who convinced Seattle to wager what I would think would be the next 3 years of their future on his shoulders.
And it's weird.
I mean, that's what an agent is supposed to do.
No, an agent is supposed to protect a player from himself. and get you the best deal at the same time.
I mean, that, I mean, I think that's about as good a deal as he can possibly get.
No, yeah. It's a good deal for money. It's not a good deal for winning.
That's exactly what he wanted. That's okay, all. That's okay. all he wants. That's all he wants. He would. He would never. If he wanted to go to Seattle to win, wanted to go anywhere to win, he would not have gone to Seattle.
The problem right now, and it's mostly baseball, but it's in a lot of professional sports, is you do have this Scarface complex where everybody wants respect, and respect is measured out in dollar bills.
Yeah.
Because that is the only way that, you know, these sports have to validate people and to make them feel respected. So Robinson Cano wanting to feel like he is respected boils down to, I want more money. And that's exactly what I got. So I don't think, I think Jay-Z as an agent or whoever is actually handling Robinson Cano, because I doubt it's Jay-Z personally.
Yeah, because agents are supposed to be lawyers.
Yeah. So whoever is actually handling Robinson Cano as a client, I think has done an amazing job here. I just don't think it – it wasn't a good deal for the Mariners.
No.
They spent way too much money. And Robinson Cano – you're right. I'm starting to hear Robinson Caruso as well.
He is, you say Cano, I think you're trying to say no, but you're saying it like how it's spelled, like Cano.
Cano.
He sounds like an aquatic Bond villain.
He kind of does,
Doctor Cano.
Doctor Cano. It's like he's in a douche canoe. Yeah, right. We're it's a callback. We've already Jeets, the Cunty Kayak, and the douche canoe.
They served him up
a big money Big Mac sandwich.
Yes. Money sandwich. That is fun to do. Good job, Adam. And we covered everything now?
No, I just love that we've been podcasting long enough where we actually have references.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and the four of us get them, so there's at least that.
Yeah. I think maybe Jordan Worth Cobb and Chaos Bulldog get them.
Hey, if two people outside of this table of people listen to this show on a weekly basis, I'm happy. Anywho, before we move on to the next story, which is, in fact, the next sport we're going to talk about, JC, first of all, thank you guys very much for tweeting at us with your candidates for the various awards that we do. We've had so much fun last week just reading your candidates. We decided once again this week to not pick any of our own and just leave it up to you guys. So, JC, do you have a particular candidate out there from the Twitterverse?
Yeah, Sean Lee getting hit. It was the hit that I'm guessing hurt his neck.
Oh, was that when Brandon Marshall hit him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Alex LeHue on Twitter. It's ALeHue381.
Mm-hmm.
That was his pun zone of the week.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate that.
And he also thanks Josh McCown for Cyborg. Or Kate or Luke.
Okay, first of all, I agree. Maybe not Cyborg, but definitely a Rudy. Like a super Rudy.
Definitely super Rudy.
Like, I had this, I was
Has
talking.
Has he become more Irish or something?
I was talking with my wife about what was going on in this Cowboys Bears game, and I was talking about Josh McCown, and I was looking at his stats, and I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, this guy, this backup quarterback, puts up 4 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown in this game, and I was like, I would hazard no one in any league owns this guy. I was wrong. Somebody in my league not only owns him, but started him and ended up winning his playoff game because of it.
Oh, he's been a good start.
Fucking incredible.
Interesting note about that playoff, though, thing. Your brother actually brought it to my attention that 3 of the 4 leagues, the playoff rounds are actually 2 weeks. So the first round of the playoffs is not over. It's only half over.
Right.
Yeah.
So was that not clear to – I mean, was that not something that was – I'm confused.
Well, you said they won their playoff match.
No, I just mean that particular. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So they calculate the points for the first two.
Yeah, in my
In
my league, it was set up incorrectly, and I thought like your dad and Punk and Drublick had lost, but your brother pointed out to me that
it keeps going.
Yeah,
and
I fixed it in my league. Y'all's leagues were okay.
Okay,
but yeah, so the playoffs are actually 2 weeks long.
Ah, so we're still out. Okay.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, so this applies to nobody at this table.
No, I mean, look, okay. I should be out because I got just murdered by my Team Taco last week in my league.
Yeah,
he beat me by 100 points.
Did you get
murdered? Yeah.
In the consolation bracket.
Yeah, I think
Jesus
it was.
Christ.
So you were your own pun zone?
Yeah. Because the thing is, when I played him like a month ago, I beat him, but he didn't have Peyton Manning. Because he had a bye week.
Dude.
And this week, everybody on his team just scored over 20 points.
You and I have a lot of the same woes, because I actually got effed in the B-hole by Peyton Manning as well. My opponent, my longtime friend Dan from Indiana, played Peyton Manning, as he usually does, as his quarterback. And not only did Peyton just go to town on me points-wise. My receiving core, who had been my most steady and reliable... Anyway, I'm not getting into that. We're not talking about fantasy yet. We will get there. Anyway, before we move on to the fantasy segment, we're still talking about these headlines, and a lot of them are coming out of college football. First and foremost, we need to talk about the outcomes of the SEC and the Big Ten championships, because those two games have decided the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
As it should be.
As it should be. SEC, in the SEC, Auburn took down Missouri in a bit of a surprise, and so they are going to the national championship. But the much, much bigger surprise was that number, were they 10?
Yeah.
Number 10, Michigan State took down number 2, Ohio State, in grand fashion to win the Big Ten title, which doesn't really do, it doesn't do Michigan State a lot of good, except that they're going to go to the Rose Bowl. But it does mean that now Auburn is going to the national game, national title game to play Florida State. And that's going to be a hell of a fucking game.
It's gonna be, oh, I mean, looking at the schemes that Malzahn comes up with versus Jameis Winston on the other side.
Yeah,
it's gonna be an offensive explosion.
It's gonna be I will predict that it'll be 75-60 will be the final score of that game. It is gonna be insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys? I didn't see the SEC game. I saw the Big Ten championship. Did you guys see any either of these games?
I saw both of them, and they were both great games.
Yeah.
And it was so gratifying to not have to wait until the BCS championship to watch Ohio State lose. Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They get into these games, so they don't play anybody, and they're just like, we think we belong there because we surreptitiously put the word "the" in front of our university.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I was listening the other day on the radio, and someone was talking about how they were down talking Florida State because they're like, their schedule, they don't play anybody, blah blah blah. And then in the same breath, we're like, and I'm so pissed off that Michigan State won because now Ohio State doesn't get to go to its rightful position. And I was like, wait a minute. So you're actually going to sit there with a straight face and tell me that Florida State doesn't deserve to be in the national title game because of its schedule, but Ohio State did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know the first ranked team I think Ohio State played? Michigan State in the Big Ten title game. And what happened?
And then Michigan almost beat them.
And Michigan almost beat him. Unranked Michigan.
So did Illinois. Yeah. Unranked Illinois.
There you go.
So it's like, I don't need to sit there and... If I wanted to bet on the game, it would be great because I could just bet on Florida State.
Yeah. You wouldn't make a lot of money. But
maybe like $5.
Yeah. The spread on that is you give us $100 and we give you a handshake.
I thought you could say hand
hand jibber. Well, if you're betting in Vegas, then yeah, you can buy one of those.
Yeah, go to certain cities.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, now we know who's going to be in the national title game. And I can tell you this. When is the national title game, first of all?
It's January
6th.
January 6th. Okay.
Yeah, January, so I'm not wrong.
Yes, yes. You're correct, Adam. I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there. We're going to do a live commentary for the...
It's January 6th.
For the college football national title. I don't see why we wouldn't. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Anywho, yeah. So good luck to... I don't know. Who you guys... Okay, so we all... are we all pretty sure that Florida State's going to walk away with this one?
Nope.
No.
I'm not sure about it. No.
I think Auburn has a chance. I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but they have a chance.
After that big finish in Alabama, I would say don't put anything past Auburn.
They played the best team in the nation and beat them.
They did.
Yeah.
You can't say that about any other team.
Hey, and speaking of Alabama and its head coach and where he might potentially go next, there is, by the time you hear this, we will know whether or not this is true. And keep in mind, we're recording this on Wednesday night. By the time you hear this, it will be confirmed or completely blown out of the water. But there are reports that Mack Brown, the head coach of the University of Texas right here in Austin, is going to be stepping down, resigning by the end of the week. And my first question is, do we believe that's true?
I do believe that's true.
Yeah, that's true. It's confirmed by enough people. He's come out and said that it's not true, but he's trying to save face.
He didn't necessarily say it wasn't true. He just said he hadn't decided yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you've decided, because otherwise you would be a lot more emphatic about denying this.
Right.
Because, like, look, he's a classy motherfucker.
He is a classy motherfucker. I think, like, that was in his bio.
That is, I mean, that's a classy move. You know, like, you shouldn't be somewhere where people don't want you.
Well, but, okay, so here's the tough part about this, is that there is a lot of that sentiment, like, Mack Brown needs to go, all this other stuff, and it might be the right time for him to go, but I don't think there's a lot of backlash against Mack Brown right now.
Not yet, because he hasn't dug his heels.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, I think there's a perception right now that Mack Brown is being forced out because Texas is not doing so well. But in reality, if you look at the record, it's like, yes, they have not been a national title contender since they went in, what, 2010? I think it was the
2009.
And
they only lost because of a fluke injury to Colt McCoy.
Exactly.
They would have torched Alabama.
They
that
really
year.
Would have. They would have. But since then, you know, they haven't really been a national title contender. And I don't think that's what it is, because if you look at Mac Brown's record, you know, he's got a really great win-loss percentage. He's taken the team to a bowl game all but 2 years that he's been here. Yeah. And he has a national title under his belt with a second national title appearance. Yeah. So I don't think it's a matter of we're pushing him out because he's not doing well. We're pushing him out because the team's not doing well. They still finished 8-5. Not a great record in college football, but not a bad record either. And I'm sorry, if 7-6 is good enough to win a Washington State coach the head position in USC, then an 8-5 one season should not be bad enough to force out Mac Brown.
But I think
8-4. I think they're 8-4 actually. Oh, 8-4. They may be 8-5.
Well, they're going to be 8-5
by the time they play Oregon.
Yeah.
So, but it, for Texas, that's unacceptable.
He said exactly what I was going to say.
It's, I mean, for a school like that, for that has that kind of, it's known for its football program. That's what it's known for. That's how they make money. That's how they make the majority of their money. So the person who's going to be running that program needs to produce something better than consistent year back. Like, this is, I think, their fourth year in a row losing at least four games.
And everything kind of trickles down. When the football team succeeds by osmosis, the basketball team succeeds, the baseball team succeeds, the entire athletic department does. And since football has been kind of down the last few years, basketball has been way down. I think it's just kind of a rainbow effect.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that was even sort of like a spark of positivity this year was the fact that if he's going to go out, he did so beating Oklahoma.
Right.
So, yeah. And that was kind of what sparked a little bit of like, okay, you know what, we may give you some more time, because, you know, during that whole losing streak, ever since the year that they went to the national championship game, they've lost to Oklahoma each and every single year since then. And not only lost, but gotten the shit kicked out of them up until this past year. So it was like, okay, well, you know, you finally got Oklahoma when they were ranked, nonetheless, and they went on a pretty decent run when they by the time they fired their defensive coordinator, hired Greg Robinson. Mm-hmm. But ever since they started playing ranked teams again, they've gotten torched again.
And when you're a fan of one of these big teams, you don't want your team winning to be a nice surprise. You expect that. It's like there's only one team in the SEC that I am fine with LSU losing to, and that's Alabama. Because I think up front they're just better, and I don't hold that against Les Miles. But if I'm all of a sudden surprised they're beating Florida and Auburn, no. That's not the way shit goes. Somebody needs to go.
And Mac Brown is like the Tony Romo of college football coaches.
That's perfect.
He for the first few years that he was there, he got them out of obscurity and started producing, you know, consistent winning seasons, like successful winning seasons, but they wouldn't ever get over that Oklahoma hump, and they would never be in complete national title contention. And it wasn't until Vince Young got there that he finally got him over the hump. And then he went from Vince Young to Colt McCoy, and then he had a really good, like a really good 6 year sort of lump. Where he could be considered one of the top coaches in college football.
Yeah.
But he's a coach who does rely on a quarterback. He needs somebody. He really does need a top tier quarterback to keep his job. And when he doesn't have that, then you see what I mean. You basically got what you get.
So is this a situation where Mac Brown is just recognizing that the time is right for him to go? Or is this him saving face with the whole "you can't fire me, I quit" type of thing?
Might be both.
It's a little of both.
I think it's both. No. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's hard to come back from that whole. You know, he's won a national championship. He took him to a second one, and you know, it's hard to swallow. Even before he got to Texas, he was a successful coach in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So it's hard to swallow that pill of being like, I'm not as good as I guess the team is not as good as they should be, and the only person that you can really look to. At right now, anyway, as to the reason of that is myself.
I think I agree. It's like I don't think it's you can't fire me. I quit. I don't think it's an anger thing. I think he's just recognizing, you know, this didn't work out for these last few years, and it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he retires or not is a different question.
Well, they're not saying retire. They're saying resign.
I'll say this. He has a very, very bright future in Texas politics.
Yeah. Well, even then, I mean, I don't think he's done coaching. A lot of people don't realize he's the same age as Nick Saban. Yep. They're both 62. They're 3 or 4 months apart.
Which is funny because Mac Brown looks like he's 30 years older than Nick Saban.
Well, just get some Just for Men. Do some of the hair dye. Look good.
And Nick Saban is, you know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around. We've talked about them in the past, about Nick Saban potentially taking over that job. And I heard something, I don't remember if it was on the radio or on ESPN, but, and I don't even know if it's true, but they were stating it as a fact about this clause that Nick Saban has in his contract with Alabama that basically says, you know, I will sign with you. It will be here for the allotted time that you specify unless the Texas job is open.
So that almost can't like be a part of his contract.
I know, dude, I didn't believe it either. But like when I heard it, it wasn't just like somebody writing about it online or somebody tweeting about it. It was some authority figure, whether I can't remember if it was Fox Sports on the radio or if it was ESPN, stating this as a fact. Now, I'm not saying they weren't wrong. They could totally be wrong.
Yeah.
But they were stating it as if it was something that just exists. And I don't know how I feel about that. But I also don't know how I feel about Nick Saban coming to Texas.
Well, any Texas fan should be thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Any Texas fan should be thinking they're lucky stars if they get Saban. He's the best coach in college football right now.
Yeah. He is the best coach. Now, but my whole thing is that I think the biggest problem with Texas right now is the recruiting.
Well, he's one of the best recruiters.
Well, exactly. And I think that's what Nick Saban would bring. But if that's really the key and the secret to Nick Saban's success, there are plenty of other college coaches that are far better at recruiting than Mac Brown was. But Mac Brown was terrible at recruiting.
It's not just his recruiting, though.
I mean, continue.
It's not just recruiting. He teaches the players. Like if you watch the stuff before the BCS championship game a few years ago, you saw him teaching the quarterback how to quarterback. He's like, you put your hands out here and just sort of use the hands as a hand.
Wait, what game was he teaching him this in?
Football.
No. What you said? It was the championship game.
It was a few years ago. I remember. Maybe
so during the championship, he's teaching this player how to play.
No, but they were showing up. No, they weren't. Not during the championship. It was like the promo before they taped like the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's over here. You know, put your hands out like this. And if he gets here, you put your hand here. So he teaches them up better than almost any other coach.
Well, I mean, the issue is, I mean, he may do that from time to time, but overall development is also the issue. Every year, Texas has one of the higher ranked recruiting classes, but they don't. They recruit 4 and 5 star players, and by the time they leave, they're 2 and 3 star players.
Yeah. Right. That's the problem.
That's not what happens at Alabama.
It's not that they have problems recruiting. They get high level recruits. They usually end up with, I think it was for a good period in like between 2000 and 2010, they were always in the top 3.
Yeah.
It seemed in prospective high school recruits coming out and getting Texas commitments. It wasn't until the last few years that they weren't developing into next level talent.
Nope.
Or you could even make the argument maybe they were developing into next level talent. They just couldn't put it together in a team format. That's what Nick Saban does.
Yeah.
Is he can not only help develop a player from coming out of high school to produce in college and then on into the NFL. He makes them play together. They form around whatever sort of mentality
Fear
he
of
brings
Saban.
In. Like he they buy into whatever juice it is that he's being juiced. I don't know.
Like he took LSU from just nowhere. Because I mean, LSU wasn't anywhere in terms of ranking, and took him to a national championship and won. I mean, if you can do that with LSU, you can definitely do that with Texas.
Yeah, and what makes Nick Saban, you can make the argument that he's the greatest. He might potentially be the best coach. Period in football. I mean, the only other coach you can probably make any kind of similar argument before would be Belichick. You know, he's definitely he's the Belichick of college football, if nothing else. But he's not a scheming football coach.
Nope.
Like he doesn't. It has nothing to do with this is how you beat this team. It's this is how you play football. And this is how we're going to make them beat us, sort of thing.
Yeah, so. It's like, I'm just going to have these big hosses up front that will just demolish the other line. Like, I remember watching a few years ago that game that hurt my heart when LSU played Alabama the second time, because they beat them the first time. And Saban was like, okay, well, the only thing they really have is a little quarterback's quick pass. So we're going to take that away. And then we're just going to lean on them the entire game and then break their line. It was like watching Ivan Drago fight Apollo.
It was, I mean, I got to say, it was one of the, it was,
God,
it was the horrible. most, it was the most thorough. Probably most boring national championship game of, I don't know, recent memory. But it was
a thorough beatdown.
It was like, I mean, it was impressive to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did not, he did not allow LSU to get beyond the 50-yard line.
Because, like, I love Miles. He's my boy. But he didn't say, huh, we probably need to come up with different plays besides this one little pass out. And that's it.
I mean, I have never seen a team look just so outmatched. Like,
oh, good Lord.
Like, ever in my life.
Yeah.
Like, completely outmatched.
Oh, that hurt. I think about that and I still cry a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I think Nick Saban is sort of the, I don't know what you would call him. He's the unicorn. You know, he's the one that everybody kind of wants to take over. Great White Buffalo. Exactly. there's some other names being batted around. Art Briles.
Briles.
Briles in
Baylor. Coach.
In Baylor.
Pretty good.
James Franklin over at Vanderbilt.
I thought you were going to say James Franco.
Mike Gundy, although that would probably be disastrous as the animosity that Texas fans have toward Mike Gundy. I think that would be
yeah,
not so great. Charlie Strong from Louisville and Mark D'Antonio from Michigan State, which I would actually kind of like to see what Mark D'Antonio could do with the program. But
mm-hmm. What about Muschamp? Wasn't he supposed to be the guy?
Nope.
No. He was supposed to be the guy.
And there's even been some talk about Jim Harbaugh, like, apparently moving from the NFL to take the Texas job. And
he would crush it.
You know what? And I feel like this might be the right time. Like, the Niners are still a solid team, but I feel like he might have taken them. They're not better than they were last year. They're not as good as they were last year. This may be a situation where... No, they are hurt. No, that's... Mm-hmm. The other thing right now going on in the NFL is that there is sort of the crumbling of the dream that was the the Wildcat and the option, like all these crazy...
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff is starting to blow up in, you know, coaches' faces, like, oh my God, we've got the secret to success. And it's like, Colin Kaepernick is doing okay, but he's not as explosive as he was. And you look at what's going on over in Washington, it's clear that, you know, that whole dream
that... He might be out of the league in a few years.
Yeah, the dream that was, you know, the Wildcat and all these crazy quarterback options and the running quarterback. I think too many defenses have figured out how to... I mean, you look at the Michigan State, Ohio State Big Ten Championship. Michigan State found a way to shut Braxton Miller the fuck down.
Well, because, like, I tell you, all these Wildcat, all these formations, everything in football comes down to just... Are you better than the player across from you? Because you can have all the schemes in the world, but if you can't hit that corner, like, I remember Oregon played LSU a few years ago, and DBs and linebackers were just as fast, if not faster, than their running backs, and they could hit that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a big thing about Oregon's offense got exposed. All they are is scheme. Yeah. If you can't reach that corner, you're not going to be scoring like 90 points.
Well, I mean, I think it's like, I mean, it's almost like investing. It's like you have to diversify.
Yeah.
You're a play caller. You have to have a multitude of different types of plays. And the problem with running those options and running that type of offense is that everybody knows that if there's the slightest deviation from what looks like the play is being called, the quarterback's going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's been the weakness that has finally, like, all these defenses have figured out, and it's gotten to a point where, okay, here's a great example. Look at what happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When Michael Vick is running the team, they're going into the dirt. They're unsalvageable. And all of a sudden he goes down, here comes Nick Foles, who looks like a wounded gazelle when he runs.
That's true.
But that motherfucker can throw the football.
Yeah.
And suddenly the Eagles are first place in their division and are a serious playoff contender.
It's almost like throwing the ball is more efficient.
Yeah, it's almost like if you're a quarterback, you should throw the goddamn ball.
Yeah. It's almost like the NFL has changed the rules to make it easier to fucking pass. Bing! So just pass!
Yes. Yeah. But again, that's why I feel like with that climate going on in the NFL, this may be a great time for Harbaugh to look around and go, you know, I will take what is one of the biggest jobs in college football.
It's the biggest.
It may be the biggest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, coming up this year, it will be the biggest.
I don't. I, when I think about it, I can't think of a team that just is bigger in college football than them. Maybe Notre Dame traditionally.
I don't know. I think when you start talking about legacies versus how much money each team currently is making,
that's true.
You know,
yeah.
Anywho, another big story out of college football is that Jameis Winston was not charged in any way, shape, or form.
Which does not mean he's not guilty
it doesn't mean anything to that extent. What it means is that there was not enough evidence for the prosecutors to pursue a charge against him. Am I right on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They couldn't bring an indictment.
I mean, I'm checking with my lawyer over here to make sure that I've got the verbiage correct. But
which, I mean, if you look at the case, it's like the alleged victim brought a few different stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point she said that she was drunk, but she had no alcohol in her system.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. I'm not trying to get into
it. No. Like, and again, we're not victim blaming.
Yeah, I'm not if there saying was, he didn't do it. I'm
if
not
there was
a
sexual assault here, it definitely there needs to be people punished. But there's just so many inconsistencies in this girl's story
that he couldn't bring it.
You know, and it was just like there was no way to. I mean, if they had brought him up on charges based on the evidence they had, it would have been a complete travesty of justice. It would have actually been, unfair to Jameis Winston. I mean, you would really be subverting the actual law just to. Yeah.
And all that would have happened is that if no other proof came forward, mm-hmm. they would have had a really expensive trial.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have he wouldn't have got convicted. But I tell you, there's a statute of limitations that if there's more evidence that comes out,
sure,
then they could bring it up. So it's actually better on the state prosecutor's side because this way they don't run into the double jeopardy problem where you can't try somebody for the same offense twice.
So not bringing them up on charges at all versus bringing them up on flimsy charges and then losing case and not being able to sure. So anyway. That means that he is cleared to play in the national championship game. I do find it interesting that now the victim has set a press conference for the day before the national championship game. And it's like, you know, I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah. And the thing is, I have opinions, but I really am trying to step delicately because whenever you're talking about...
You're being a good person, and I understand that. No, but I think you need to be in this particular situation. You need to be very careful not to present a front of, you know, like, there's no way he's guilty just because we like him as a player.
Yeah.
You need to not put forth the idea that everybody who accuses someone of sexual assault is lying because that makes it more difficult for people who are actually sexually assaulted to come forward. I absolutely get that. But the more I hear about this case and this particular accuser, I have to call bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm like...
And it's the same reason, like, people will say, well, what's the difference between this and, like, Ben Roethlisberger or Aaron Hernandez, where...
Well, Ben Roethlisberger, there was proof.
Yeah, he did that shit.
There you go.
Actual video proof.
He's the reason, like, that's the reason he's not on my fantasy team. I traded him away, and I didn't care what kind of points he was going to give me.
And you can't mistake Ben Roethlisberger. He looks way too fucking unique to be somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, the question was more as a devil's advocate sort of thing, but, like, my thing is, like, this is the first thing that's come up with Jameis Winston, and he wasn't charged. And I think with most people, you get a pass once. Like,
sure.
Roethlisberger, that was the second time he'd been accused of that. And Aaron Hernandez, there's multiple instances in his past. Even somebody like Richie Incognito with multiple instances in his past.
You at least see, like, a trend.
A trend or a pattern, yeah. I think with Jameis Winston, nothing has really come up. And so I think you get one, with me anyway.
Everybody gets one.
He's also the best client I think I've ever seen because he keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about shit. He just sort of goes, I'm going to talk about football. What you want the fucking client to do?
So here's the next thing I want to ask in regards to Jameis Winston, moving away from the legal situation for a second.
Yes, he's going to win the Heisman.
Okay. Oh, good. The Lord, question I wanted to ask, actually, because I pretty much assumed that we all thought that, who represents the biggest threat to his winning the Heisman? In other words, it was going to go to somebody else, if it was going to go to any of the other candidates, who is the most likely candidate besides Jameis Winston to win the Heisman?
I don't think he has.
I mean, nobody has a big enough body of work, but maybe the running back from Auburn.
Yeah, and even then, it's like, you know, Trey Mason.
And that's
pretty much based on
the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
The SEC championship? I thought it was based on his running back.
No, that was a different guy.
Oh, that was a different guy.
I think it
was Davis. You're right. That was Davis. Yeah. That's who I thought was up for the Heisman.
No, Auburn. Trey Mason's the one who ran for how many yards did he run for the SEC championship game? Like
a fuck ton. I don't 300 really remember.
Something. Yeah. How many? When were votes supposed to have gone in for the Heisman though?
I think tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean
tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, they're closing in fast.
If Alabama had beat Auburn, then A.J. McCarron would be the biggest threat.
Would be a stronger candidate. Right.
Yeah.
But there's...
And even then, his body of work is... Yeah.
Yeah, he was the safe choice in case Winston got charged.
Mm-hmm.
And if Winston got charged, he would have, like... And this is...
I love how careful that. You're being. Yeah. I love it. You're such a fucking lawyer. Choosing all of your words carefully so as to not incriminate yourself.
Well, not to that. I just, I have
you
a
realize you're not on trial, right?
Yeah, but I'm being recorded.
Where? What? The fuck? What the hell is going on? Pull all these cords out.
But here's the thing. McCarron's a safe, all-American choice who doesn't have anything in his background that they can just pick. Mm-hmm. And but he didn't win, so they were in a real bind if Winston got charged as to who, because nobody deserved the Heisman besides Winston or McCarron this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's you yeah. know what, I think it's going to be Florida State in the national title game winning it in a walk, and I think Jameis Winston is going to easily come away with the Heisman Trophy.
Fun fact about the Heisman: Vegas has Winston's odds at winning at 1 to 150, meaning you have to bet $150 to make $1.
Yes, yeah. And I do want to point out, and you can go back in the archives and listen to this, but I'm pretty sure that I was making a case for Jameis Winston winning the Heisman Trophy at the beginning of the year, and I'm pretty sure there were people in this room that didn't agree with me. Anyway,
well, I didn't just even know
gonna,
who he was.
Just going to leave that as it lies. But moving now to the world of the NFL. I guess a team being so bad that they actually give the coach a stroke midway through the season isn't enough to save that coach from being fired when that team continues to shit the bed as epically as have the Houston Texans, who now have a I want to just for clarity's sake, have a worse record than both the Saguars and the Fucks.
So like what's the name for the
Tampa Bay Fucks and the Jacksonville Saguars.
Yes, the Toxins.
Yeah, it's insane. The Houston Toxins are, man, they are a lesson. They're a cautionary
fire.
Tale. They're a dumpster fire. They're also a cautionary tale. Gary Kubiak, unfortunately, has been fired. I don't know how, man, I don't want to talk ill of the guy because he did have a fucking stroke trying to coach this goddamn team of reprobates. But he is now out, and the discussion has already begun as to who might be replacing him as head coach.
Nick Saban.
It's obviously going to be Jameis Winston. One of the names being batted around is John Gruden. Like, they're going to try and coax John Gruden out of retirement.
That's a winning choice.
Yeah, so he can. So here's what we got to do. First of all, everyone here is a grinder. Blah, blah, blah.
Just, well, here's the thing about John Gruden. It would be a good choice because he is a good coach, but here's what people don't understand about those cushy ESPN gigs. Is those dudes get to play golf 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
They get to see their wife and their kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's already won a Super Bowl, and he's already getting paid millions of dollars from ESPN. Why would he go back to stroke golf?
I don't think any of them miss it.
Yeah.
You miss it until the point you miss it. Only when you haven't won a championship.
Yeah, and I think you miss it, but after a couple of years when you realize you've played golf 3 or 4 times a week and hanging out with your wife and
your
kids.
Yeah,
and it's like, no, I'm good.
So let me put forth this possible scenario. Let's step into the holodeck for a second and play out these variables. So let's say
this holodeck is sticky.
Let's say that – let's just expand our minds to accept the hypothetical that maybe the Texans in the season with the worst record, meaning that they will have the number one pick in the draft. If – and we all know right now that their biggest problem stems from quarterback issues. I mean, we all thought Case Keenum was going to turn that team around. Unfortunately, this has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he's got some offensive weapons. We just need a stronger leader at that quarterback position. Yeah. Let's just, for the sake of argument, say that they take Johnny Manziel in the draft. Now, hold on. Bear with me. So they pick Johnny Manziel in the draft with their number one pick to be that stronger quarterback. They also need a coach. You know who might be up for the job?
Sumlin. I thought he just resigned with A&M.
Yeah, but you know what happens when the NFL comes calling. Those contracts don't mean shit. So if they get Kevin Sumlin to coach, let me just ask you guys this. Do you think it would be likely that if it came as a package deal, like I'm not saying that it's really likely that individually they'll draft Johnny Manziel, or they will hire Kevin Sumlin, but if they do one, does the other potentially have a better chance of following suit?
I don't think so.
Only if they get Sumlin.
So in other words, if they hire Sumlin as the coach, is it more likely that they're then going to take Johnny Manziel?
I think it's more likely than if he. I guess he wasn't going to. I still don't think it's very likely.
Mm. Yeah.
But
like I said, we're in the holodeck. We're playing with variables here.
It's like I guess yeah. To phrase it that way, it's true. It's more likely, I think.
I don't know. It seems like to me, Sumlin had a hard enough time dealing with Manziel when he was a college athlete, and there's like rules and rigidity around him.
Interesting.
When he's a multimillionaire and doesn't have any rules and is a wild card, essentially.
And is a little shit.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think it's likely at all that that the Houston Texans will take Johnny Manziel. I don't think Johnny Manziel is going to go in the first round.
Dallas is going to take him.
I think it would be wiser for Johnny Manziel to stay in college than to go in this draft. Personally, because I think he's got two more years to prove not only his skills as a quarterback, but that he can calm the fuck down and stop being a disciplinary problem.
Yeah,
I honestly think that if Johnny Manziel enters the draft right now, he's not going before the third round. He's just nobody's going to want to deal with his bullshit.
That's true.
Not in this crop. Like, you're going to AJ McCarron entering the draft. Mm-hmm. You're potentially going to have Jameis Winston entering the draft.
He can't this year.
I feel like you guys said that about him last year. I feel like
Winston?
Winston?
Yeah. This is his first year playing. He's a redshirt freshman.
Like, so he can't enter the draft.
Oh, wait. Well, you have to be three years removed. Yeah, I think 3 years removed from high school in order to actually enter the draft.
Huh. Yeah.
So the earliest you can enter the draft would be, I mean, if you're a straight up freshman and not until you're actually a junior, if you're a redshirt freshman, not until you're a sophomore. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But the point being, there's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, right, is going to be eligible for the draft. There's going to be a crop of quarterbacks coming into the draft that are not only arguably as talented as Manziel, but are not the disciplinary and ego risks that Manziel is.
See, I think for the Texans, you don't need a home run. You don't need a quarterback that's a superstar. You need a quarterback that's a game manager. So if I'm them, I trade my number one pick for a Sims. Not Sims. What's that guy's name? On San Diego.
Phillip Rivers.
I would trade for Phillip Rivers. Huh. Because he's better than what he seems
like. No, you make a good point. They don't need to be. They don't need a superstar. They need somebody who is competent. Consistent. Yeah. Key word.
Another scenario that's a little more likely, although Chicago will probably want to keep him, because Houston's already got a really good defense. They could, in theory, use that number one pick for Jadeveon Clowney and spend a lot of money on Jay Cutler because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
That could be good.
Yeah,
and Chicago may not want to give Jay Cutler all the money that he wants.
Not after they see what fucking McCowan can do with the ball. Like, I'm sorry, who are you? And you did what now?
Hey, sure. You say that, but look at Matt Flynn.
Yeah,
Matt Flynn had a few good games.
At Case Keenum. Go right back to what we were talking about. Case Keenum looks super sharp. Out of the box, and I was dumb enough to fucking put him on my fantasy team after those games. But
yeah, I mean, the Houston Texans next year, they could be very similar to, you know what, it could be very similar to Kansas City of this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It could.
I mean, it's almost like a mirror image of one another.
Well, they went the opposite route.
Yeah.
I mean, they were as strong as Kansas City last year.
A year ago, I think in the first week of December, they were the best team in the NFL. A year ago.
So they've gone the complete opposite route. So you're right. It stands to reason that if they get the right person under center, they can bounce right back and have a Kansas City-like swing. Kansas City swing, by the way, sounds like a term from
Pacific Rim?
No, the
Not everything is Pacific.
I thought he was trying to cue into that. That sounds like a cool move, though.
God damn it.
Kansas City swing.
You're Let's killing me. 11. No. Yes, it does sound like the Kansas City shuffle. But no, I was thinking
Ocean's
the other.
11?
No, the other con man movie with Newman and Redford. The Sting.
The Sting.
Yeah, it sounds like a term from The Sting. That was a long walk around the block to get to that one. Jesus Christ. I've had a few beers. It's not coming to me as quickly as it usually does. But anywho, best of luck to the Texans in finding not only a head coach.
Fuck the Texans.
But, okay. Anywho. Let's talk for a second about RG3, who has been, I mean, there's no other way to say it. He's been a huge disappointment this year for the Redskins. And now that they are completely eliminated from playoff contention, Mike Shanahan has made the decision to sit RG3 for the rest of the season. Kirk Cousins will be getting the start. Not only that, but Rex Grossman is the number two, which means Robert Griffin III is literally out. Like, he's not even backing up Kirk Cousins. He's just out.
Because Shanahan's a horrible coach.
Well, okay. Now, there's a couple of different ways we can look at this. One, he's a horrible coach. Two, he is protecting a quarterback who last year, he was criticized for leaving in a game too long.
That's true.
That resulted in a near season-ending, you know, knee injury.
Yeah.
Career-ending.
Potentially career-ending. It was season-ending. It was potentially career-ending. Now, So we have these, there's two possibilities here. Either Shanahan's a terrible coach, doesn't get along with Robert Griffin III, and this is Shanahan's way of being like, yeah, I did it. You want to fire me? Go right the fuck ahead because I'm tired of this job.
Didn't he threaten to quit or something?
That's
hearsay.
Yeah, okay. It's not been verified. But what I'm saying is it would be an easy way to be like, if you want to fire me, I'll give you something to fire me about. I fucking hate this job. Or it's a situation where he is overcompensating for the mistakes of last year by being like, okay, we're out of playoff contention. There's no reason for you to risk it. Which, frankly, I kind of agree with.
Yeah,
What's the point of leaving Robert Griffin III to win three games that mean nothing?
This is the easiest way for him to compensate for what he did last year. Like, this is the absolutely easiest way for him to do it. There's no risk in There's no risk in taking him out. Like, I mean, what are you going to – attendance, people just aren't going to show up.
They might be more likely to show up.
Yeah, for
at
all
this
they
point,
know.
Yeah.
I mean, give them some rest.
Yeah,
yeah.
As it is, the ones that showed up last week ended up leaving in halftime anyway.
Yeah, the Redskins, Jesus, that is just. I'm surprised they've won three games. I'm kind of baffled. Like, as badly as they've played, I'm kind of just flabbergasted that they've even been able to pull out three victories.
You know, morale's a real thing, and when it's like when you know you're bad, and you may not even be horrible, but you might just be a little bit subpar, that can quickly snowball into just being shitty.
Yeah.
Like a shitty snowball.
And there's been a lot of criticism lobbed at Robert Griffin III, not only by the media, but by his teammates about not taking responsibility for his playing, for the team's losses, and seeming as if he is putting it on other people. I've listened to Robert Griffin's press conferences. I don't think it's that he doesn't take responsibility. I just think he's terrible. Let's think about this in terms of the WWE.
Yeah.
You can have a wrestler who's great in the ring, who executes all the moves with technical precision, who's a lot of fun to watch, but he gets on the microphone and it sounds like there's cottage cheese just mouth farting out of his gullet.
Ew.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, what are you trying to say right now? And I feel like Robert Griffin III's problem is he's just not very good on the mic. Like, it seems like he knows what he's trying to say, but he can't get the point across.
So what you're saying is we need front men in the NFL, like in the WWE.
What I'm saying is if you have a problem with what he's saying on the microphone, stop sticking him in front of the fucking press.
See, now I want to see Jerry Lawler be his front guy. Like, oh my God, this was a horrible
game. All of a sudden, Paul Bearer comes out in front of Robert Griffin III.
And do we get intros now? I would love intros. And do we get, like, the surprise? Like, we have a surprise when the backup comes in, but we don't know who the backup is.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they come running out of the ramp.
My point being, I don't think Robert Griffin III is trying to throw his teammates under the bus. I don't think he's trying to be arrogant. I just think he's not good at talking to the press.
Yeah. I feel like immaturity goes a long way. And
yeah. I think he gets flummoxed. He doesn't know exactly what the right words to use. And they will attack anyway. I saw the press conference today where they were just picking and picking and picking, trying to start a fight between him and Shanahan, trying to get him to admit that he was pissed off at Shanahan. Like, back the fuck off. They're doing it to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, who hasn't started a game all year, who probably doesn't even know what's going on in the locker room because he's been sitting outside of it mopping the floors.
Yeah, it's like I thought he was in a coma the entire time.
This is like really?
Episode of Dallas.
Stop trying to start shit.
Did I just mention Dallas?
You did.
But yeah, that was a lot like Cam Newton last year, so maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe this is what he needs. Maybe being humbled. If it really is a situation, if you want to buy into that it's a situation where he's a little full of himself and can't take responsibility. Maybe this is the kind of thing that will humble him. Maybe this will be a good thing for him. I don't know.
I just think it's that maybe he's just having a rough year.
Yeah.
Like, that happens.
Everybody has rough years.
Yeah. It's really easy to be good in front of the camera, in front of the mic when you're 10-6 and you're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it hasn't been your day, it hasn't been your month, or even your year.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, because this is the first
time.
Are
you quoting the Friends theme song?
I don't know. It might be second gear.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's the first time that he's had to deal with, you know, being on a, as far as I know, I don't remember how, I think at least the last 2 years he was there at Baylor. You know, he made Baylor, a respectable football team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they hadn't been a respectable football team probably since the 1980s when Mike Singletary was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he got there and he ends up winning a Heisman Trophy. You know, that's a lot to take in when you're the savior. Mm-hmm. You actually bring an entire program out of football obscurity. Yeah. And then you come to Washington, you know, your first year, you're a, you know, your first round draft pick, and you take them to the playoffs your first year with a 106 QB rating. It's hard not to buy into something like that. And then you have a year like this, and you know, this is his first time having to probably deal with this level of conflict.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is probably exactly what he needs. Just sit down, take the rest of the year off. You probably got back into the game way too soon anyway. You know, it's you can rest a lot on the fact that you probably started way too soon. You didn't have you stayed in way too late, and you came back way too soon. All because you know you're young and you think you can. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know you have the rest of your career to look forward to, and you're playing in the weakest fucking division in football.
Yeah, No, you're completely right. Completely right.
And another story out of the NFL here. So the Cowboys got their asses handed to them. It wasn't quite as bad as the Saints game, but it was worse than the Saints game.
It was worse than the Saints game.
And all of this, by the way, with Josh McCown under center for Chicago, who, had four passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. Just insane. An insane performance for him. By far his best of his career. So, a couple of things. First of all, JC, can you talk a little bit about... So, Josh McCown is so unlikely a hero in this story that some of his own teammates don't know who the fuck he is.
Well, it's not... It's not his teammates. It's the Cowboys.
The Cowboys don't know who the fuck he is.
Which, there's a problem with that.
Yes.
One thing NFL players do in leading up to any game, and this is true of football at any level, high school, college, you watch hours and hours and hours of game film. You know... the tendencies of the quarterback. You know how far he's going to try to throw it when he pats the ball two times versus when he pats the ball three times. Like, you know the ins and outs of your opponent probably better than he does. After the game, reporters were talking to Orlando Scandrick, who's a cornerback for the Cowboys, and they asked him about McCown's performance, to which his response was, "Is that Luke or Cade McDown?" Which, I mean, his defense, he's close. He's Luke's brother.
Okay.
But, neither of those two guys.
Which explains everything. That explains why they lost. They were completely prepared for Luke McCown.
Yeah. And also in his defense, sort of, I don't know why I'm going to his defense so much, but Cade McCown was drafted by the Bears.
Yeah. Cade McNown, by the way.
Yeah, Cade McNown. He played at UCLA. Yeah.
So not even a McCown.
No, not even a McCown.
Not even neat.
And our last story out of the end, I don't even know what to do with that. But anyway.
They're one of the worst defenses in NFL history.
In NFL history.
That was my favorite part
of the game was afterwards, Ray Lewis, who is new to commentating, not mincing words whatsoever, just like, I don't know what to say other than this is one of the worst defensive performances in the history of professional football defense. And I was just like,
I'm gonna stab it.
Wow. Like, he does not care about being diplomatic whatsoever.
I mean, to a backup quarterback.
Yes.
A backup quarterback, they allowed a point on every single possession.
Yes. Every single one of the only possession on which Chicago didn't score was the kneel down at the end of the game.
There are three NFL games this year in which a team did not punt. Two of them were against the Cowboys.
That's great.
There you have it.
Oh, my God.
Well, moving away from that dumpster fire, I want to talk a little bit about, once again, just a story that illustrates how there shouldn't be and vastly is getting to the point where there isn't a division between sports and other, you know, geeky properties. Greg Hardy of the Carolina Panthers decided to show his affinity for a particular nerd property in his Monday Night Football game intro. Now, you've all seen these. I mean, the players' heads pop up and they're like, you know, I'm Cam Newton. I went to Auburn. You know, whatever. They go through the whole.
Yeah.
I got paid.
Some of them have been doing this weird thing the past few years or so. They went to the school of hard knocks.
Yeah. Just silly things like that.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy, who what position does he play?
He's a linebacker.
A linebacker for the Carolina Panthers decided to say, Greg Hardy, Hogwarts.
Yes.
No, he said Kraken.
Kraken.
Hogwarts.
Now, okay, I want to applaud and then immediately reproach him because, yes, that's awesome that you mentioned Hogwarts and you look like the kind of person that may have studied potions and then took a bunch of them before the game. And at the same time, there's no Kraken in Hogwarts, dude.
Maybe he's calling himself the Kraken, like unleash the Kraken.
But there's no Kraken. If he wanted to get up there and be like, Basilisk, Hogwarts. I would have been like, absolutely, you got it. You are completely right on that. But I will nitpick in that there is no Kraken at Hogwarts.
Just don't call him a house elf.
Do not call him Dobby. He really fucking hates that.
A little offensive.
So
you can even take that story a step further, leading into what we're probably going to talk about next with Kobe returning. When Kobe was introduced at the game, his intro music was the Imperial March.
That's nice. Awesome.
That is kind of amazing.
That's him like finally owning up and playing to his image.
That's entirely true. Except that he will lead on with
the Kobe story.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a short break before we get into the NBA, and then we're going to talk about fantasy football and, of course, the ITL Pensieve. But stick around with us. We have plenty more to talk about, including which monsters are and are not actually at Hogwarts. Welcome back, Rudolphs and Reprobates. We're going to continue to talk about sports because that is basically what we do. We're nerdy about it. What are you going to do? Anyway, moving on, before we move on to the world of the NBA and a couple stories we have going on there, JC, hit me up with some more Twitter candidates for our various awards. Once again, every single week you guys can... Once again, every single week you guys can tweet at us at ITLcast with your recommendations as to who should win Oh My God, which is Game of the Week, Pwn Zone, which is the biggest hit or embarrassment, He Might Be a Cyborg, just the overwhelmingly best performance of the week, and the Rudy and Fredo, which are great and poor, respectively, fantasy performances. So JC, hit me with something.
So two of the games that I thought were fantastic to watch were Baltimore and the Vikings and the Lions and the Eagles. And so we have two awards from our Twitter followers. So they're at Gotta Have S'more. His choice for Oh My God Game of the Week was the Vikings at Ravens, which with that ending,
you
certainly can give it to him. And one of our favorites, Chaos Bulldog. Giving a Cyborg Award to LeSean McCoy. And rightly so.
He had a hell of a game. We didn't even mention the fact that the Eagles and Lions game was a snow bowl.
It was so cool to watch.
9 inches of snow.
It was a whiteout for a while. Like, I was watching the game when it first started. They had to superimpose numbers onto the field, Fox did, so you could tell where the yards stopped and started. Yeah,
which only helped the people watching on TV. It didn't help anyone in real life.
No. The people watching there were too busy forming snowballs to throw at the referees, because it is Philadelphia, after all. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, they put the batteries inside the snowballs.
But one of my favorite shots, and I think somebody actually posted it in the comment section of our last show, one of my favorite images from the game is Calvin Johnson catching a ball, going into the snow, and coming up with just snow all over his visor.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about that game is snow was building up so fast, and Calvin is one of those guys who wears a visor on his helmet.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anytime he went to the ground, it was just snow built up on his face.
No, one of the comments said he transformed into a snowblower, and that was freaking hilarious.
But it was like watching people play football in their backyard. There was no concept of where the out-of-bounds markers were. Nobody really knew if it was a first down or not. Like, it was just like, just run and hopefully the result will be good for us.
DeSean Jackson scored a touchdown. They weren't even sure if he was in bounds or not. And they reviewed it and they were like, well, we can't tell.
Like, there is not indisputable evidence that the snow is not on the ground.
Yeah, the rule is that it has to be indisputable, and they're like, well, we can't tell, and we already gave him the touchdown, so...
Well, like, if you saw him fall over in the end zone, they were falling to where the snow was starting to cover them. Like, it was that deep.
And Rob Ford loved that game, that's all I know. But then he realized it was snow and not pure uncut cocaine. So, yeah, that was incredible to watch.
Sorry.
But moving to the world of the NBA, hey everybody, Kobe's back! Black Mamba has returned.
Yay!
Yeah, I was like, yay! Wow, there's a lot of enthusiasm in this room for that announcement. But yeah, after being injured for a very long time, his first game... He came back against... Who were they playing the first game he came back?
The Raptors.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors. Yeah. How'd they do in that game?
They lost.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which, I have a lot of problems with how he came back in general, because he was cleared a couple weeks ago, and he could have come back their Friday game, which they were on the road in Toronto. Instead, chose to take the route of marketing the hell out of his return, delaying it a game, having him come back on Sunday, which was a home game for the Lakers, and when he could have played a game earlier...
Well,
I just have problems with that.
I mean, it's not about him. It's not about the team for him. It's about him.
Clearly.
Well, I would maybe agree with you, except that the second game he only did marginally better.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it's really a question of him coming back at the right time in terms of this game on this day versus the next day this game, as opposed to, dude, just sit out a couple more months. Like, get in prime shape so when you come back, you can really make a difference and contribute to this team. Because frankly, right now, he's not even at like 40% Kobe.
Yeah, currently right now, according to ESPN stats and info, the Lakers are averaging 21 fewer points per 100 possessions with Kobe Bryant on the court than they were without him.
That's a small sample size. He's only played like three games so far.
Yeah.
Two, three games. But still, I mean, it's something to think about. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is a remarkably speedy comeback from that injury, and it is impressive for him, as old as he is. It's just, he probably needed a little bit more time.
What is he, 36?
35.
I mean, at this point, can you just say that it's really, that it's, you know, I don't know, it's a great story that you are able to practice? Is that not like just some kind of moral victory?
It's like, where do you hide your cane when you go down the floor?
It's like, I came back after this after 3 months. I've set a world record. It's like, well, okay, but your team's doing so much worse with you.
Yeah. Okay, well something positive about Kobe. Something positive. This is, I'm having to reach back.
But I'd say, because we did get called out by one Twitter follower for being Laker haters, but whatever. Well, I'm technically the only Laker hater.
First of all, that guy was not a follower. He was some stalker. I looked at his account. All he does is tweet at Laker players as if they're going to talk to him. Mm. He had zero followers, and all he did all day long was tweet. And then he said, "What can you expect from Inside the Locker, a bunch of Laker haters?" I'm like, you don't follow the show. You have no idea who we are. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, I like the Lakers well enough. They had... I got two stories in.
So he got blocked anyway.
Oh, sorry.
So Inside the Locker has one block. So we're catching up, Paul George. We're catching up to you.
Are we
one block for this show?
Are we the Dikembe Mutombo of podcasts now?
No.
Why did I do it more like that? One of the things I loved about Kobe last few years is when he was playing the Olympics, mm-hmm. it was always fun to watch Kobe because, like, I just don't watch enough of him on the Lakers, but it seemed like he actually cared, and like he was like, "Nope, we're gonna win this. I'm just gonna turn it on." And like him and LeBron would just take over at certain points, and it was always cool to see. So I mean, and I am not a Laker hater. They have two of the coolest fans.
Yeah, he's a competitor. I don't think anybody will ever doubt that he's a competitor.
Yeah.
And I don't like Kobe necessarily, but I will give him all the respect in the world for what he's been able to accomplish in LA. But at the same time, it's like, dude, face the facts. You're not ready to come back. I understand that you're eager to, you know what, and that's admirable that you're eager to get back on the court. But when your presence is actually hurting your team, mm-hmm. as these stats would suggest, maybe it wasn't the right time to come back. Maybe take the allotted time that you needed to get back to, you know, to being full health. I don't know.
That's not Kobe's fault. That's Coach's fault.
Yeah.
Coach makes that call.
Yeah, but does he really?
You don't think Kobe was like, "I'm Kobe Bryant. I'll go back whenever the fuck I want."
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's the coach's responsibility.
That's like Eric.
It is the coach's. No. You're right. It's the coach's responsibility to tell him no. I just wonder if
I'm not saying that if
the coach tried to say no because it's Kobe Bryant. You know. Anyway,
could be.
It's like Eric Spoelstra like giving LeBron James a talking to. It's like. No, you do know that the reason you're winning these championships is me.
That's, I don't know. It's true. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're the coach.
No, but that's
your
the,
job.
This is the Faustian deal you get when you get it. Unless you're Phil Jackson, you get these players that.
I love that you use Faustian. That's very. I like that a lot.
I'm just like,
I gave Elliot a compliment, which doesn't happen very often.
It's so weird. I'm like, what the fuck is
and
going on?
And he got choked up.
I'm just like, I don't know how to respond to insults. I don't know how to respond to compliments.
if I can find one thing that I like watching about the Lakers this year, it's Nick Young, aka Swaggy P.
Good Lord. He's like the laziest porn star of all time.
Wait, where does the P come from?
I have no idea.
His name is Nick Young. There's no, the letter P does not appear in the name Nick Young.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, Lord.
His pregame interviews and even postgame interviews are hilarious. You have to find them on YouTube. But it gave me an idea, and by the end of the year, I'm going to have an Offertada NBA team that's probably going to be led by... It's probably going to be led by Nick Young, Swaggy P, JaVale McGee, probably Meta World Peace, But yeah, I'm just gonna keep
maybe
an eye, keep
a
an eye
member
out for
of the
that.
Of the New York of the Brooklyn Nets, one of them, somebody.
Well, it's not going to be based on poor play. It's going to be based on them doing stupid things on the court. Which,
I don't even say he's. Oh no, you mean they suck? No, I don't mean that.
Yeah,
suck.
One of the things you can also YouTube the name JaVale McGee and like any bloopers. Yeah, he's kind of a train wreck.
And one other thing I want to talk about in the world of the NBA, and it's not going to make JC very happy. The long-awaited showdown between the Pacers and the Heat, the two best teams in the NBA East, and that is to say, the only two good teams in the NBA East.
Did you see that thing that I think it was ESPN Insider tweeted a picture of the two conferences? Where,
yeah.
Where it was like...
The little kids with the plastic.
It was Chaos Bulldog.
Yeah. Chaos Bulldog.
And then the other one was the goons from Space Jam. Totes. The West.
The Pacers, finally, I mean, the Heat came to Indiana, like, this is a game that a lot of people were watching because it was like, well, you know, are the Pacers legit, or is it just a situation where they hadn't really played?
And they'll quit.
Anybody yet? And they beat the Heat.
Nice.
They definitely, I mean, it's Indiana, so it's really easy to beat the Heat in December. But, but yeah, so the Pacers improve. They are now 19-3. The Heat are 16-6. But I will say this for the Heat. They had that game in the first half. It was like they were making the Pacers look silly, but apparently all of the Pacers' wins have really come from, this, you know, much like Andrew Luck's football playing, the Pacers' basketball playing is all about the second half and all about turning it on in the second half and really making a big push at the end. And the Pacers were able to win, I believe it was only by four, but so they're now 19-3. They're still atop the East Central Division, the Eastern Conference Central Division, and it makes for, you know, how are the playoffs going to go? Obviously, even the playoffs aren't decided by one game, but still,
I mean,
I'm excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, it makes for an interesting discussion, but overall, it's not a huge deal. It's not a huge deal to the Heat. They're not quite where they want to be. Even last year, up until, like, I think April, before the playoffs even started, they came out and said, we haven't played our best game as a team yet. They're still developing. They're still...
Yeah, it's convenient.
Yeah. And it's...
we're not playing our best game, right?
Was that after they went on their 20-game win streak?
Yeah, it was like in the middle of it, and this is why we're a scary team, because we haven't played our best game yet. And you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I mean, the Pacers are coming out of the gate. That's good for them. They're calling this a statement game, and that's the sort of thing that an inexperienced playoff team does, and it just kind of rolls off the Heat's back. It's December. Yeah. It's not a huge deal yet.
Yeah,
they're playing in the East. They can win. They can lose many of these.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Can't we just cancel the rest of the season for the East?
Just go ahead and set up the playoffs now.
Just fast forward. Just fast forward.
The Pacers, by the way, 19-3 is the best record in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just going to mention
one more thing about the NBA. I know we're not necessarily giving awards, but I saw one thing this weekend that I didn't think I would ever see. It's one of the stupidest things I've seen in my life. So my frittata of the week is Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings is notorious for being a ball hog in the league. I saw him – he plays for the Pistons. I saw him in a game this weekend dribble the entire 24-second shot clock by himself. Didn't pass it. Chucked up a three-point shot and missed it.
So it got
obviously
a shot clock violation because it didn't hit the rim, or did it at least hit the rim?
It hit the rim. Okay. But, and it's one of those things where play went on, the announcers were talking. You can tell they were sort of paying attention, but not really. And then he shoots it after dribbling by himself for all 24 seconds. And if there's a few seconds of silence, and one of the guys goes to the other, he goes, did Brandon Jennings dribble that ball the entire shot clock? To which the other one said, yeah, I think he did.
No, truly not.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's going to, before we move into our fantasy section, JC, do we have any more candidates from the Twitter wire? Once more, that is @ITLcast. Tweet us your candidates for all of our various awards, and we will read them on the air.
@AnklesBane votes Matt Prater for Cyborg for
a
64-yard field goal.
That was going to be my... If we actually did individual picks, that was going to be my Cyborg. Matt Prater kicked a 64-yard field goal.
Yeah,
the longest in NFL history.
It's one of those records that...
It's a little dubious.
People have come close because the original record when I first started following football as a kid was 63. And then since then, a couple of people have kicked 63-yard field goals.
Yeah.
So it's not like Wilt's 100-point game. Like, somebody was going to kick a 64-yard field goal at some point. They just didn't know when.
I mean, Bill Gramatica has the record for longest since in college, 70 yards.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. So it's not that like, Martine's kid?
That's his brother.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's unheard of. It's,
yeah.
The problem is just opportunity. You know, coaches just don't risk it. Even if you can kick 70 yards.
Well, that was the thing is I think they were going into the half or something. It was one of those situations where there was absolutely nothing to lose. So they just gave it a shot.
It was the Alabama
kick. I was going to say, there was nothing to lose, and there was no Auburn player on the field, so they decided to try it.
Yeah.
And hell of a performance.
There was a dude at the back of the end zone waiting for it. It just went through the end zone.
Suddenly, someone who started Matt Prater as their fantasy kicker is like, how did I get 20 points off of one guy? There you have it. Well, that is going to move us. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
I have one thing. I don't care.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
See, I'm used to that.
I'm used to that.
No, I just want to say my game of the week would have to be Seattle, San Francisco.
Yeah.
Great game.
That was not a very high-scoring game, but a fun game to watch for sure. Yeah. Well, that's going to move us into the realm of fantasy football. And we're going to start off this section by talking about the playoff picture right now. Now, as we said at the beginning of the show, there was a little bit of a miscommunication. We weren't really sure exactly. I think we all thought that the way the playoffs were going to be decided was that, you know, there's four teams in the playoffs in each of our leagues. We thought they would do the four teams on week 14, and then week 15 would be the top two players against each other. Apparently, instead, it's just they're basing the entirety of the score of you playing your opponent on those 2 weeks combined. What happens then? Like, there's two games in the playoffs going on in each league, so what happens? Is it just by points after that?
Yeah, it's both weeks combined points.
So there's not a situation where the winner of game A and the winner of game B? Mm-hmm.
No.
I really have a problem with the way ESPN does its playoffs. Like, that's not only that, but again, taking the four highest records versus the actual conference leaders, then why have conferences? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's completely new to me, and I didn't realize that the league was set up that way.
None of us knew that we set it. I'm not blaming you. Yeah. I think ESPN's playoff structure for its fantasy football is a bunch of horse shit.
Well, that means a few weeks ago, I actually would have qualified for the playoffs.
Yeah. Both of us would have been in the playoffs if it followed logic, but it apparently does not do that. And I don't know. So what's going on in the playoff picture right now?
So, in your league, your brother has a lead of 135 to 93 over Team John Doe's.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're unknown.
Son of Avondruk has a lead of 131 to 112 over Team Dodd Y.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dodd Wall. In Adam's league, the Winterfell Direwolves have a 117-84 lead over the Springfield Spartans. Team Tote is losing to Team Carne Asada 144-121.
See, now I'm hungry.
Yeah, right.
Elliot's league, lynched by the Beast, has a huge lead of 162-97 over Washington DC Comics. The Vagabond Pillager has a 151-120 lead over the Virginia Vinegar Strokes.
Hmm.
In my league, the opponent has a 147-98 lead over Turd Ferguson, who's a punk and drublick.
Well, speaking of which, I saw some trash talk about that. It's moderate trash talk.
They
weren't
really trash talking each other.
But I'm glad to see it.
They were just talking about the outcomes of the games. Like, that's kind of not really a problem. It's a good problem to have, but like our guys are too nice. They're too nice to trash talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I want some funny videos from these people. Come on.
Yeah.
I think as it goes on throughout the years, we're going to get more comfortable with the different personalities in the different leagues. Yeah.
And then the last game, so it was one of those things where I felt bad for your dad because I thought he lost, but apparently not. But he is losing 109-164 to Tebow Nerd James 2K.
Well, holy shit. Okay.
But I mean, depending on what happens next week, that could completely turn around. Very much up in the air.
Wasn't there like a video from a movie? No, this doesn't make sense.
Probably not.
It was like Boner Jams 2000.
That is 40-year-old virgin. 40-year-old virgin. Paul Rudd's character gives Steve Carell a box of his old porn. Yeah. And there's, God damn it, I hate that I know this immediately.
I wonder if that's where you got the name from. Like,
Boner Jams. Yeah, I'm sure it is. So I'm not really sure exactly, like, I'm a little thrown off as to how to do this. Maybe you guys can help us out by commenting how to decide. So there's going to be one winner in each of our leagues. And figuring out exactly how we're going to decide the ultimate winner. Because, you guys, I found a trophy the other day. I found this website that has a trophy that is so perfect for our league. So if you win the overall Inside the Locker Fantasy Football Tournament, you will receive this trophy. And you will also get to be on as a co-host for a future episode of Inside the Locker. But I just can't figure out exactly how to determine the winner between the four league champions.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN does kind of keep the track of the stats of who your the entire points scored throughout the year. So, I mean, that maybe
could do point total.
Yeah.
What about trivia?
Maybe trivia. I don't know.
Like, send them a multiple choice test and say, "Hey."
Or maybe have them each. You know what? We could have them each call in even.
Yeah.
And do a trivia challenge.
Yeah, like we could do a crossover for. The Ooh. Rounds of crossover.
That's interesting.
Like one against the other, and then whoever wins against the other person.
See, but I don't want to make it as easy as the crossover where it's literally like 50-50 every question. I want to do an actual trivia challenge. I think that's a good idea. I think we'll have each winner call in either the same. You know, we'll do it all in one show.
Yeah.
We'll do it all in one show. We'll have each winner call in. They won't be able to talk to each other. They won't know who is doing better than whom. And we'll do this trivia challenge. It'll be a little bit of sports trivia, a little bit of movie trivia, and yeah, I think that's a great idea, Elliot.
This is weird. I'm getting compliments. This is
you're such a nice person, Elliot. I really do respect you as a friend, as a man.
Your taste in movies is impeccable.
It is. You drink manly things like a man should. Yeah, you don't. You're not a red wine guy at all.
More people should put ice in their beer.
I like ice.
More people should put ice in their beer. That is I can't do this anymore. God, I can't pretend that cretin who puts watered down swill into his gullet. I can't do it.
No, but think about it. Every other drink you drink in your life besides alcoholic drinks. Like even other alcohol drinks, you'll put ice in them.
But that's because they're not made milk. Like beer.
Not milk. I don't put ice in my
You know
milk.
What I don't put ice
I
in?
I put ice in my milk.
I have an aunt who does that.
Yeah, my mom's freezing.
Hey, there you go. Hey, you know what I put? You know what I don't put ice in?
I don't put ice in my coffee.
I don't put ice in my bread. I don't put ice in my bread. You know why? Because it's got yeast in it. You know what else has yeast in it? Beer.
How's that affect it?
What? I don't put ice in
how does ice affect yeast?
My point is the other shit that I'm drinking doesn't have yeast in it. Okay. Lawyered. Not lawyered
not
at all.
Really. To be lawyered, I have to understand your point.
No, you don't.
Overruled or sustained. Whatever judges say to make lawyers be quiet.
Anywho.
I agree. You're wrong. Prison.
just prison.
Ergo, Propter Hawk. Congito Fergo Sum. Ipso facto.
I'm very glad that you've watched The West Wing. That's one.
Habeas corpus. there are very few of us who actually, and by us, I don't mean the people at this table, because that would be none of us.
Maybe
but
one
very,
of us?
Very few. Google Gobble. Hey, by the way, in Wolf of Wall Street, we paid for an advertisement in the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. If you listen very closely, you will hear, I'm bullshitting, but there's... You will hear a reference made to Todd Browning's One of Us in Wolf of Wall Street, and we're watching it at the press screening, and I'm just like, Chris and I looking at each other like, yes, best free advertising ever. Thank you, Marty. Anywho, although not very many of us listening to this who participated in the Inside the Locker Fantasy Football Tournament are in the playoffs right now, that does not mean that we can't continue to compete against one another. JC, tell us about ESPN's Bowl Mania, or as we are calling it, Thunder Bowl.
Yeah, so they've got a challenge similar to the NCAA tournament. Basically, anyone can create a group. Then there are no limits to how many people can join in, and it's a straight-up pick 'em. You pick all 35 bowl games, and whoever gets the most correct picks is the winner.
Truth. Truth bomb.
Yeah, I tweeted out a link to it. All you gotta do is click on that link, click the button that says join group. We'll be tweeting it out throughout the week. Whenever bowl games start is when we'll stop, because once they start, you can't enter.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, one of my friends does this every year, and last year I helped her pick, and it's a lot of fucking fun. Because, like, it makes watching the Kraft Fighting Hunger Bowl interesting. You can eat some macaroni during it, so, I mean, come on.
when so few other things were able to make that bowl interesting, at least enter this tournament. And before
this is going to go up Friday, so 8 days.
There you go. So get involved with that. We will keep tweeting the shit out of it.
Listen, is there no college football this week?
No, I don't believe there is. But we'll have a Heisman Trophy. We'll have a Jameis Winston next week.
A Jameis Winston presentation.
I'm just gonna, I have like the last 5 years of LSU bowl games. I'm just going to go watch those.
Very good, Elliot.
You're a sad man.
Within those 5 years, you're going to watch the Alabama.
I will watch it. I like some of the players on that team. It's sad, though.
Before we move on.
None of them did well. So.
Yeah.
Before Elliot refuses to find the natural place to move on,
sorry,
I do want to mention that I want to rant a little bit about Michael Floyd and Kendall Wright. You guys have been my go-tos, my standby double-digit guys every single week. And I'm in the consolation tournament. I'm basically like in the kissing your cousin tournament. And still, unprecedentedly... That's not even a word. The unprecedented low performance that you put up this week between the two of you is earth-shattering. 7 points.
Total?
Total. Not 7 points apiece.
Hey, law of averages.
7 points total.
It has to happen eventually.
What the fuck was going on? I feel like I'm going a little bit John Malkovich. What the fuck were you doing? What the fuck were you doing?
I really want to Transformers 3 over here.
It's... I mean, I'm not saying that I would have won my game if they had done better. I am saying that I lost by 32 points. And you guys got 7 instead of what should have been at least 20. So, just going
to
throw that
out. As a contrary to that, with my fantasy guys, I appreciate the 169-point explosion in the consolation round. That's thanks for that, guys. That means a lot.
That is the most pissed off I've heard JC ever.
Yeah, it's just that's like, as angry as it gets, guys. So enjoy just, that moment. Play it back. Rewind it. Make it a ringtone.
I didn't even really look at it this week because I'm not in the playoffs. And I look, I was like, 169 points? Really?
The fuck?
Just to piss you off.
Couldn't do that 2 weeks ago.
It's like he blew his load at the rest stop.
Like, it's good to come late, but this is too damn late. Like, the girl's already left.
Well done. Well done, guys. Well, we're going to wrap up the show by doing our customary Inside the Locker Pensieve, where we pretend that we can see the future, even though we obviously cannot. Not even JC can see the future. Anywho, but he's kicking all of our asses. Anywho, we are going to examine here the results of last week. It looks like the big winner last week was JC.
Coming in
at 11-5,
nice, congratulations!
Bringing his overall record to 129-67.
That's a good percentage.
Putting him a good 10 games ahead of the next closest person, which is Adam, at 119-75. And bringing up the rear is some guy named Brian Salisbury at 109-85.
What am I at?
113-82. Yeah, you've been beating me for 3 weeks. Stop fucking gloating already. Also, just want to point out that you were the only person,
Did you get the cards right again?
No.
Oh.
I mean, yes. Well, yes, but we all picked the cards. I mean,
we
picked them because it was the right choice, not because that, you know, they had LSU players. By the way, how's Matthew doing?
Honey Badger.
How's Honey Badger doing?
What happened to him?
Tore his ACL.
Elliot.
Happens.
Yeah, he won't be back. You were the only person who picked the 49ers over the Seahawks. Mm. I'll give you that. That is something.
Thank you, Colin Cowherd.
You also picked the Vikings over the Ravens when the rest of us went with the Ravens, and that pick turned out to be incorrect.
But it was a close game.
And you know what else was a close game? And I will stand by this pick. I was the only one to pick the Browns over the Patriots. Now, it didn't work out for me. But that was close to being an upset, and barring one bullshit pass interference call, which I assume was just to make up for the Monday night game against the Panthers, no other explanation for it. But
did you see that bit of karma against the Steelers?
The karma against the Steelers?
Where I think this is right. I may have been on the wrong team, but they were about to run it back at the very end.
Yeah. They did one of those things that almost never works where they're lateraling it. 6 or 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown broke
barely
free.
Barely stepped out.
Stepped out by Tiniest of margins.
It would have been amazing if Mike Tomlin tripped him.
Whoops!
Whoops! It was the snow. I was just looking at the Jumbotron. Yeah,
I also noticed, as expected, I picked the Bengals wrong again.
Well, I mean,
thanks for that, Colts.
Yeah,
methinks you may be overly critical.
The only person who picked the Bengals over the Colts was Adam. Which, fuck you, Adam.
Well, Adam was trying to
fuck you for being right in that game, and fuck the Colts for being so inconsistent in the post-Reggie Wayne end of the season.
I also picked my team to lose as well. So
you did, and you were the only person who picked. I believe you were the only person who
picked. Nope, he convinced me.
And you, oh, no, that's right. That's right, yeah.
And you were super right about that one.
Yeah.
You were very, very right. You and I both. You and I both picked the right team on that one. No, we didn't. You and JC? Who? No,
Elliot.
You and Elliot both picked the Bears. That's right.
Because he was like,
I retract my high five.
I was like, right here.
Anyway, I don't
deserve it. Yeah, I was like, I picked the Bears too much. But I was like, maybe they are my favorite team. I should pick against them sometimes. And that went bad.
So we're going to go ahead and do our picks for Week 15, starting with the Chargers and the Broncos. JC?
Go with the Broncos.
Adam?
Playing good.
Yes, they are.
You know, this isn't actually as easy as I thought it would be. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Okay. Elliot?
Phillip Rivers is playing amazing football right now.
But Peyton Manning is, like, pissed off. That people are saying he can't throw in the cold.
It's like, I play in Denver now, motherfuckers, in an outdoor stadium. Of course I can.
Broncos.
Yeah, I am going to go with the Broncos as well. So the Redskins and the Falcons, two dumpster fires going head-to-head. JC.
I gotta go with Atlanta.
Yeah.
Way too
Kirk
much.
Cousins start. I don't know. I'm interesting. Adam.
Not even that. Just all the distractions in general. Like,
yeah. That's a good point.
I agree. Yeah. Let's go with Atlanta.
All right. Elliot?
Yeah, the Falcons had a good game last week, so I'm going with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Browns and the Bears, JC. Gonna pick your favorite team over the Browns?
Yeah, I'll go with the Bears.
All right. Adam?
You know what? I'm gonna go with Cleveland.
All right. Elliot?
Browns.
I'm also going to go with the Browns. I think they are very, very unhappy right now with losing such a close game to the Patriots on what should have been their day. Colts versus Texans, JC.
Man, God help the Colts if they can't beat the Texans. Like, seriously.
Yeah, no shit. Adam?
Also Indy.
Elliot?
Colts.
Yeah, they need to. If they don't beat the Texans, then I have no hope for the playoffs whatsoever. I'm going with the Colts as well. Patriots versus Dolphins. Now, on paper, this seems like an easy pick. But keep in mind, the Dolphins tend to be that team in the late part of the year that always just sneaks up on the Patriots.
Like a dolphin.
Like a sneaky dolphin. Apparently, that's a stereotype that we're trying to put across. We're trying to introduce into the stratosphere.
I didn't introduce it. Sequest introduced it.
That dolphin
was sneaky. Dolphins shouldn't talk. Man.
Not Echo the Dolphin. It was Sequest that you're going with?
Darwin, the dolphin. The one that talked.
All right.
And you watch Sequest.
All right. So anyway, apart from that reference, JC, are you going with the Patriots or the Dolphins?
I think the Dolphins have been playing pretty well lately, and Patriots just lost Gronk. So we'll see how.
Oh, that is a good point.
Yeah. Right.
Adam.
I have to, you know what, this, I have to differ from JC at some point, so let's go with New England.
All right. Elliot.
You know, where are they playing?
I believe they're playing. I have no idea.
Underwater.
Yeah, they're playing at Sequest. DSP.
Is Bridger going to be there?
Stop. Just stop it.
A dolphin.
Just think, who would win in a fight, a Patriot or a dolphin?
where are they fighting?
Wait, so if John Adams just jumps into the Caribbean punches a dolphin.
The dolphin's going to call for his buddies like in a bad fighting game. And like,
I'm sorry, like I'm loving the idea of redoing HBO series John Adams, where he's fighting dolphins instead of, you know, British colonials. Anyway, what?
What was I going to say? If it's in New England, is there tea?
There will be a massacre. We're just not sure who will end up dead. I'm going with the Patriots on that particular one. Eagles, Vikings, JC.
Philly. I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to play this week.
Yeah, that's going to be bad news for the Vikings. Adam?
Yep, exactly. Philly.
Elliot?
Eagles.
All right, I think Eagles across the board there, absolutely. Giants and Seahawks. Wow, that's...
Oof.
JC, Giants or Seahawks?
I feel like nobody in the last 2 weeks has even mentioned the Giants' name, like, anywhere. ESPN, Sports Illustrated, like, nobody's talked about the Giants, but, I mean, I'm still going to pick the Seahawks. it's just an observation.
I just want to talk about the Giants just so I can not pick them.
Despite everyone doubting and hating on the Giants, not giving them the proper press, I am going to pick the Seahawks. I love that. That was great.
I want to bring them up. I want That'll to bring them up just to insult them.
And Adam, you said Seahawks as
I
well?
I said Seahawks.
Elliot?
Seahawks.
Because our brains all work, we're going to take the Seahawks in what will not be a close game. 49ers versus the Buccaneers. JC.
49ers.
All right. Adam?
San Francisco.
Which one are they? No, I'm just kidding. Elliot.
49ers.
Yep, I think 49ers across the board there. Although I shouldn't even bother trying to differ from JC at this point. I'm so far behind. Bills and Sadwars. Well, not so Sadwars now.
Yeah, no,
they're mediocre Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like better than the Texans Wars.
So they're better than a pile of shit.
There you go. They're a slightly less stinky pile of shit. JC, Bills and Jags.
And what the hell? I'll go Jacksonville.
Jags. Adam.
I'm going to go Buffalo.
Bills. Elliot.
Bills.
I will also go with Jacksonville, so we have a split decision on that one. Chiefs and Raiders, JC.
Go with the Chiefs.
All right, Adam.
Yeah. Go to Kansas City.
I was like, really?
Elliot.
Chiefs.
Yep.
I'm just trying to decide how many games are left that I got to pick and how many of them are actually there's not nearly as many close games on paper.
Yeah.
Not nearly as many close games this week as there were last week.
Yeah. We're getting to a couple interesting ones. This is not one of them. Jets and Panthers.
Panthers.
Yep. Adam.
Carolina.
Yep. Elliot.
Say it loud. Say it proud. Panthers and proud, baby.
Wait, was that?
Did I say it right? Yeah, I think I said it right.
Was that Huey Newton's?
No.
Mantra? What is that?
Panthers. Black Panthers.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay, anyway.
I thought you meant Huey Lewis in the news. It's like, do you believe in
love? We have the white guy.
The problem is, this is an office where Jason Murphy works, and he loves Huey Lewis in the news. So like, whenever I'm in this office, all I can think about is like references that he's made.
I don't know. It is hip to be square.
I'm just going to... yes, this is an office where Jason Murphy works. This is also an office where three white guys work, one of whom knows more about the Black Panthers than you do. I'm just going to point that out once again.
That's true.
Anywho, the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yes, the Packers and the Cowboys. JC.
Go with the Packers.
All right. Wow, okay. Adam?
I'm going to go with Dallas.
All right. Elliot?
Dallas.
And
to be fair, it hasn't been decided yet whether or not Aaron Rodgers actually is going to play or not.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Cardinals and Titans. Now, here's an interesting game-ish.
This could be one. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the leader of that defense for the Cardinals was really, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that he's out, I think this became a closer game. So, Cardinals or Titans, JC?
I'll still go with the Titans.
Okay. Adam?
I'm going to go with Arizona.
All right. Elliot, do I even need to ask?
Well, see, I'm torn between my love for LSU players and my love
and
for...
And logic?
And my
That'll
love,
be a first.
And my love for Remember the Titans.
Oh, Lord.
So, I'm going to go with the Cards.
All right. I will also go with the Cards. God damn it, Elliot. Saints versus Rams.
That
again,
should be a shirt.
A couple weeks ago, not a great game on paper, but now... I don't know. What do we think, JC?
Go with the Saints.
All right. Adam?
I'm going to go with go with New Orleans.
All right. Elliot, do I need to ask?
Saints.
All right. Saints across the board there. Not as interesting as I thought. Bengals and Steelers.
I don't want
to
pick.
You have to pick. And you can't pick Mike Tomlin's foot either.
God damn it. Pittsburgh.
All right.
Oh, I hate this.
Adam.
Cincinnati.
Elliot.
Bengals.
I'm also going to go with them. I really hope they win.
The cheerleaders!
Watch them win. It's going to be shit.
This is great. And finally, the Ravens versus the Lions. JC.
Man, the Lions have to win at some point if they want to get into the playoffs. Talented as they are. Right.
He's now picking based on the law of averages.
You would think that the Lions would have to win at some point.
Yeah. No, I'll go with Detroit.
All right, Adam.
Where are they playing?
At Detroit.
They're at Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man. I'm going to go with Baltimore.
All right. Elliot.
Lions.
Ravens, just for the shit of it. And that will do it for week 15 of the Inside the Locker Penn Sieve. We will see how we do next week. It's pretty clear to me at this point that JC will probably come away with it. I think, you know what we might try doing is extending the Penn Sieve to baseball. Yeah. When the baseball season. Or isn't there an all-star break in basketball?
Yeah.
We could start after the all-star break in basketball as well.
Good Lord, I love the basketball all-star game.
Well, we can also just kind of do an overall 2014 Penn Sieve for multi-sports.
Yeah, that's true.
Since we didn't do the crossover this week, we didn't really talk about movies. But since I have horrible taste, I just want to say, take a second at the end of the episode, Frozen was really good.
I liked Frozen a lot.
Yeah, Frozen is
really
good.
Horrible taste.
Oh, I'm so used to being like... just
so you know what I really liked about Frozen, and maybe this is just me, but it seemed like the most... I don't want to say that it had a subtext or an agenda or anything like that.
But it had a good message.
But it had a message that I think a lot of gay, lesbian, bi, transsexual people will really identify with. There's that whole song about letting it go, about being yourself. And like that whole song I'm listening to and I'm like, wow, this is a song that could underscore the next It Gets Better campaign. And I mean that as a compliment.
You know, I didn't think of it, but you're right.
It's a movie that's about like not being forced. Literally, she spends her whole life locked in a tiny room.
Oh my God, you're right.
And then like bursts out of it and is allowed to be herself.
That's not subtext. That's just text.
I'm just saying it's super text. I think the opposite of subtext is super text.
Plus, yeah, I mean, you've had Kristen Bell, who's cute as a button in general, but animated form. Come on.
Oh, who?
Kristen Bell.
Oh, Kristen Bell. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you.
I was like, it sounds like it. Sorry. I really did think you said
Christian Bale.
Bale,
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Swear to me. Yeah, I'm adorable.
And the thing is, the songs were really, really great. Yeah,
they were.
And like the gags were good. Like they had that little snowman.
Yeah, I liked
them. It was funny as shit.
I like that. I like the movie overall quite a bit. I think it might be my favorite animated movie this year. You know, and there's not been a lot of great animated movies this year. I don't think.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2? I didn't see that.
I didn't. I should probably see it before I say things like that. But.
I don't know. I think the best animated is either.
You did say it was the favorite amongst the ones you've seen.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's either, for me, it's The Croods or Frozen. Cloudy 2 is okay. But The Croods is legitimately good.
I love the gag in the Cloudy 2 trailer where there's a leak in the boat and it's just an actual leak. Anyway, well, that's been Inside the Locker, your weekly nerdy sports fix. I am Brian Salisbury. You can find me on Twitter at BryGuySalisbury. He is JC. You can find him on Twitter at
JCDeLeon1.
He is Adam Charles. You can find him on Twitter at
The_Beef.
And he's Elliot Fondanet. And you can find him on Twitter at
ITL Elliot.
ITL
Elliot. Where my last post was about shoes.
Not saying a word. You can
tweet about my cat.
JC tweets about his cat. I tweet about movies and being angry at things. And I read tweets. And Adam reads tweets. Want to remind you that you can follow the show on Twitter at ITLcast. You can tweet at us random. As you're watching games, you know what we love? When you're watching games and you just have random thoughts about what's happening, tweet them at us. JC does such a great job running the ITL Twitter account and responding to people and just kind of conversing about sports. It's almost like you're watching those games with us. So that's always a lot of fun. Tweet at us your candidates for the various awards. We will continue to do that. As soon as the fantasy football season's over, we will get with the four winners and the four conferences, which is what we're calling, you know, our four individual leagues, and we will set up a trivia challenge. There will be a winner. There will be a trophy. Excuse me. The beer is starting to react negatively with my system. So you can find us on iTunes. Just search One of Us in the podcast section. Please do go to Amazon. And, we have right there on the sidebar, you'll see, in fact, this post at the very bottom, you see that little link that looks like a present? Yeah, click on that. It's going to take you to a random item on Amazon. You don't have to buy that item, but if you go to Amazon via that link, we get a cut of whatever you buy. So we really appreciate if you do that, especially if you're shopping for gifts for the holidays. And happy holidays, by the way. We're getting close to that time, and hope you're all having a wonderful and cheery holiday season. We will continue to bring you the best, the worst, and the nerdiest of everything sports right here on Inside the Locker. But for now, we're going to close the door and go back to sleep. Good night, everybody!